What's going on, guys? Another huge episode of the Almost Made It podcast. This week we had on Daniel DiFrancesco.
We spoke about him leaving Australia at the age of 11, also a major knee injury that hampered his career, and then his debut with Western United.
Huge episode. Let's jump straight in. Before we get into the episode, I know you're probably wondering where you can buy all this cool stuff from. You can get tees, hoodies, hats and shorts from
www.cultureclub.com.au. Use the code AMI15 to get 15% off. Now let's jump straight back into the episode.
Welcome back to episode 5 of the Almost Made It podcast, proudly brought to you by Cultural Club. Another huge episode coming your way. We have a very, very old friend of Cultural Club. We got to know Daniel when he was just a little kid, actually. Yeah. So he's playing his trade in Italy at the moment. Ex-Western United player, debut and everything else. We'll get into that. But ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Daniel DiFrancesco.
Thank you, boys. Thank you for having me.
What's going on?
Pleasure to be on here. You know?
How are you?
Yeah, been well, man. Been well. Good to be back in Melbourne and everything.
It's been
summer.
A while.
Not
summer. Yeah. Started, man.
Having a nice summer break.
There's better weather in Italy, man.
Honestly. Yeah, I can imagine.
We got drenched on the way here.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
You had to take your jumper off for us.
Yeah, no, it's bad.
You
it's
just
bad.
Had a shower.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on here, honestly. It was 15 degrees sunny when I left Italy. Come back here.
Exactly.
It's worse. And it's winter there.
It's winter.
So what's new, man? Are you going to go over back to Italy soon?
Yeah,
or what's the plan?
So I'm looking back to go next week. Changing clubs, so it's exciting.
Been is it exclusive?
Exclusive, yeah. I just gotta wait for that.
Here we go.
I just gotta wait for a few contracts to settle through before I can say everything else. But I'm looking forward to it. Been for Italy for 6-7 years. So there may even be a potential change
of country.
Of country,
yeah. It's exciting.
Yeah. No. Good. Got a few options. Got to evaluate and. Nice. Settle things, which is exciting.
All the wheeling and dealing of being a footballer.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You know how it is, man. You deal with this one, you deal with that one. It's all over the place. But you got to find trustworthy people.
Definitely.
People that are on board with you and that want to make it as bad as you want to. You know?
How hard is that? We're just talking off air. It's so hard to find people you trust in football.
Yeah, no, it is, man. It's football at the end of the day. You got to have a good team behind you.
Definitely.
You got to have a good team. You got to have good networking behind you. Good networking will take you very far, and people that just support you, man, that are with you every step of the way. Because we know, speaking from players, man, we know how football is. It's not.
No, it's never like
exactly
that.
Exactly right, man. There's no like A to B,
no,
or
man.
Like a straight trajectory to get to where you want to get.
If it was that easy, man.
100%.
I wish.
I'd be playing in Serie A. We'd all be playing million-dollar contracts and stuff if it was that easy.
Exactly.
Like you say too, you got to put yourself in the agent or anyone else's shoes. What's their motive? Do you know what I mean? You look at it as a player, but it's like, bro, this guy want like, you know, he'll promise you the world. Why is he promising you the world? Because he wants 50% of what
course,
you're gonna get. You know what I mean? You gotta look at these things and make
man.
Sure that you trust that person.
There's so much that goes into it, you know, and it goes back to what we were talking about last week as well. It's things that the people that don't understand. How do you explain this sort of stuff to someone? Do you know what I mean? That hasn't gone through it?
Because they think you just play football, right?
Yeah,
and you play PlayStation
honestly,
all day.
Honestly,
but then you got phone calls coming up. You're trying to deal with this guy.
Honestly,
you don't know.
Man,
that's basically
honestly,
the life.
Man, it is. It's bloody. It's not just simple as putting your boots on, kicking a ball.
Yeah, exactly.
You
but
know?
That's what people see, though.
Exactly. People don't see behind the scenes of everything that you deal with as a footballer.
He's going around the world. He's doing this, but
what a line,
all the stresses, man. You don't know. You don't know if you're gonna have a club.
People
you know?
Don't see that. People don't see that. People see the success, the glory, the money, the fame.
But it's 1%.
That's the 1%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's that. That's exactly. That. Whether the suffering for football behind the scenes is that, man.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know that is greater than that.
Mm.
We all gotta. But it's the world of football, man. What can you do? What can you do? You just gotta push through it and
keep going.
Exactly.
So where did it all begin, my friend?
Where did it all begin? Wow. 2015. I was 11 years old, and I got a opportunity to go to Italy. Signed for Genoa FC, Genoa CFC.
Yeah.
It was a big move, you know, big move for the family and stuff because, like, as a family, we all came together. And I thank my parents, man, because at 11 years old, man, you don't just break up the family like that.
It's a big like risk.
It's a big risk at that age. It is a big risk and reward. You know, at the end of the day, at 11 years old, the family was broken up.
Yeah.
My parents came with me, settled me in, did about 6 months altogether. Then my dad obviously went back to Australia, had to work, couldn't stay full time. It was a big thing for an 11-year-old, you know, and I'm grateful for that every day because if I didn't have the parents that I have today, that would have given me the opportunity to go and pursue my career, my dreams. I wouldn't be where I'm at today, you know, and I've got a long way to go. But that was just a big step that my parents gave me when I was a young kid.
Did you, like before that, did you always believe that this opportunity would come?
Yeah.
Were you very like driven?
Yeah, look, I was at a young age, I was always driven. My mom always tells me, she's like, Daniel, all you wanted when you were a kid was a ball.
But I remember.
That's all you wanted. That's all you wanted. You know, you boys remember when I was young age, you know, is all I want is a ball, kick the ball around, play with the ball. And at a young age, I've always felt it in me. I've always felt it in me. You know what? I've got something I want to set it out to do and I'm going to go work hard for it. You know, and I was lucky at a young age to find something that I love to do and that I want to pursue. And now it's just, it's a journey from here. And then
it's credit to you as well, man, because we spent a bit of time in Italy together at an academy for a short time. Yeah. And obviously, you know, you can find in, you know, another Australian, another guy from, you know, home.
And have not knew you him know. Before.
Yeah. And yeah. I still remember, man, after training, you'd be like, Ale, let's go practice free kicks. Let's do this. You were only a kid, man. And all like after 3 hours of training, we were done, man. But you just wanted to keep going.
Keep on going.
So credit to you, man.
I remember this guy when I reckon you were about eight. His sister Moss used to be mate. Like they're still mates. And I reckon he was about eight, man. I would have been more 13. Me and he'd come to my house, we'd be playing nonstop.
Yeah, I remember.
I remember, man, it was in you from a young age. And then credit to you, obviously at 11, man, to make that move.
Big step,
like,
man.
Look at 11, like, no offense to 11-year-olds these days, but a lot of them, man, they're not at that stage to make a move like that. So
I did it at 15. It was hard enough. I couldn't imagine
without,
that.
Without like our parents and that too. And so it's like, that's so good too that your family was able to like support you through that. Yeah. That's another big thing.
Yeah, it is, man. It is. Mm-hmm. And then at 16 years old, my family came back. But like at a young age, it was a good experience because I'm 20, but I feel way older than I am.
Exactly.
Oh, it always like trips me out when you say, just before we're like, how old are you now? 20. Oh, what
crazy. Yeah.
Your and, life experience is unreal for a 20-year-old.
Yeah, of course. And you develop maturity on a different level. Like my mum, she's like to me, Daniel, I'm not going to leave you until you can cook, clean, take care of yourself. And you're not calling me every minute asking me what to do. Mum, how do I wash this? How do I wash that? You know? But still now, man, I'm 20 years old. I call my mum and I'm like, hey, mum, what do I eat today? Like, I'm struggling. I got to cook three times a day, you know, but it's normal. And to a young age, man, you develop all that, being alone. You learn a lot of things. I'm very used to being alone. I could pick up and leave my family tomorrow if I have to. But yeah, it's because I see something beyond all this short-term pain, so to say.
It's so important, I reckon, just getting through that. It's always, I think the first month is always the worst.
Oh, yeah.
And then slowly you start to see the bigger picture. Just like you said, you know, I'm doing this for a reason. I'm not just here to suffer.
Of course.
There's a bigger picture.
Yeah, of course. You know, all that suffering, you want to get something out of, you know.
Mm.
You don't want to, my biggest fear is regret. I don't want to look back when I'm older and think, could have done this,
We talk about this all the time.
Literally, like, not that we live in regret, but it does play on your mind. Being older now and seeing where you are now 100%, that's the best mentality to have. Just give it everything.
Of course. And you know, at the end of the day, if it works out.
You can say that you gave it all.
Of course. You know, if it works out, that's great. If it doesn't work out, as long as I know myself, I gave everything I possibly could.
Exactly right.
But still got a long way and keep on working.
That's it.
What would say were some of like the your major strengths that you gained from leaving home early and living by yourself, you know, obviously mental resilience, all that type of thing.
Yeah, like it's improved my mentality a lot. Like I don't think like an average 20-year-old. Mm. I'm not interested in going out. I'm not interested in partying. Don't get me wrong, I'm 20 years old.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm 20 years old once. You got to enjoy your life too, right? Because there's a phase that you don't see. But yet again, don't enjoy your life too much where you're taking it off the right path and stuff. But I've gained a lot of mental resilience. I'm fine being alone. I'm fine not going out. Like I went 3 weeks straight in Italy just training, no days off with the team. I'm fine with that because I love that and I enjoy that.
Mm.
You know, that's my type of fun.
Mm.
And yeah, it's taught me all these things, man. Like what my dad always used to say to me is short-term pain, long-term gain.
Yeah, it's true.
Sacrifice these years to fulfill the years when you're older in enjoyment and, you know, in fulfillment. And you can, diciamo, not rest, but you're...
Yeah, you have the possibilities to do things exactly, that you couldn't do back then.
Exactly. Yeah. The freedom and stuff, yeah, you know?
Definitely.
Exactly right. So, Genoa at 11, what came next?
So at Genoa, I was at Genoa at 11. I was there for a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I got offered from Genoa a 4-year contract for Entella. So I was evaluating stuff and I'm like, look, this could be a really good opportunity for me. 4 years at Entella, Serie B, lower league. But yet again, you're young. You know, lower league, it doesn't really matter playing Serie A, Serie B. It does, but you just want to play. Exactly. You want to play games. The main thing is playing games. Went to Entella. Played, enjoyed it, loved it. You know, I still keep a good rapport,
relationship
with them, which is really good. Played with them for 4 years. And then after Entella was when things got really tricky in my career. Very, very tricky. You know, we COVID hit. Mm. So our season, under 17 season, got really cut short. So we done only the first half of the season. Second half got cut short. All the boys were sent on loan for COVID. So we got sent out online to Serie D clubs, which was good, you know, playing with men at 16 years old. You know, it's gross. You, different environment, different changing rooms. The men, they give it to you. You know, you're young. You got a lot to live up to.
Yeah.
And then that's when I come back home. And then I stayed here for a bit. Went back to Italy to play for Serie D. But then COVID got cut short again.
Mm.
I'm thinking, all right.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm thinking, all right.
Yeah.
Like, cut short, come back. Cut short, come back. So I went back to Australia. Now, they did tell me to come back in January. They're like, look, the season's going to renew in January. Come back. We're ready. But I'm like, look, with all due respect, I don't live around the corner.
Yeah, it's not that easy.
You know, I don't live 2 hours away. You know, I'm not. Yeah. It's, flights are not cheap. You know, it's not. I live 24 hours away, man.
Yeah.
So that's when Western United came into play.
Mm.
You know, I thought, you know what, take this as an opportunity to potentially improve as a player. Play well. Playing is always better than staying fermo.
Yeah, exactly right.
You got to play games.
100%. And the club was new then, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it
was very started, new. Yeah? Very new. Yeah. Western United had just come up. You know, it was very new. I was a part of the first under 23s for Western United. So I came when the first 23s and 21s were around.
Mm.
Played at Western for a year. Everything was going really well, really good. And then second year, 23s, that's when I made my debut and stuff. Signed for the club.
For the first team.
Team. Was training first team a lot, which was gross. You know, I really enjoyed it. You know, credit to Western United. I still keep a good reputation, relationship with them. They've helped me a lot. You know, I really found the boys and the coaching staff was really, you know, good fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Different changing room environment compared to Italy.
Of course.
Which I enjoyed a lot.
What's the difference?
Ah, that's a good question, man. The difference between Italy and Australia changing room. Italy, different, how do you explain it? Different jokes, crack around.
Yeah, of different banter.
Different, you know, like some banter you'd say in Australia, in the changing rooms with the boys here.
Yeah.
Different over there. It won't work over there.
Change how you say things.
Exactly. You know, you've got to change the way you say things.
Do you think the competitiveness was a bit different?
Oh, yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
That's the biggest thing I noticed. Yeah.
Like you can stroll into the change room, have a laugh, but I always found like 15 minutes before it's time to go out, just changes.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's ready for business. There's no more laughing. There's nothing.
No. I remember, man, when I was 11 years old, the first time I went to Genoa to the changing rooms, man. Hey, who's this kangaroo?
Yeah.
100%. That's always.
At 11 years old, man.
Yeah.
Hey, who's this kangaroo?
Yeah.
They ask your name. Where are you from? They ask what position you play. Yeah. But look at the player that's playing your position. Exactly. Hey.
This is at 11 years old.
Yeah. 11 years old, man. Hey.
Yeah.
He's here to take your spot, yeah?
Yeah.
That's the mentality.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then when you earn their respect, and then when they see you could play.
It's a great feeling, but.
It is, man.
Mm.
It is because like.
It's a graft. It's not just rock up, like, you know, here you rock up. Hey, bro, how you going? You know, come sit next to me. No, it doesn't look like that.
I found it was very, very friendly the first time I went to the Western. I mean, all the boys were new. Everyone was new.
Mm.
But I sensed it was very friendly.
We're too nice here, man.
I think he was very friendly, man.
And I think we confuse here being nice and like competitive as being a bad person.
I think
that's there's a misconception. It's like if I'm serious about what I do, it's like, oh, he's an arrogant prick or he's an asshole. But I'm here to do a job.
I agree, man.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's where the mentality is not right in that sense.
Mm. The mentality of them is it's brutal.
Exactly.
It's honestly brutal, man. I'm here to take your position.
100%.
Because on the pitch, no friends. There's no friends, exactly. man. Exactly. Tackles, people going in, they're going in hard.
Exactly right.
They're going in hard.
But it doesn't mean after the game, I'll shake your hand, good battle.
Yeah. Exactly, man. They're going in hard, but respectful. They're not going into studs up, taking knees out if you leg, take them on or something. They're going in to say, listen, I'm here too, yeah?
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. So then, West United debut, what was that like?
Oh, it was crazy, man.
Take us through the emotions.
It was crazy, man. Like, honestly, it was, so the youth, I think the youth boys were off.
Mm-hmm.
And I was training with the A-League and I was training with them for a good, maybe I think 3 weeks, month, constant going there. And then all of a sudden one day, the boys are telling me, like, I'm talking with the A-League boys and I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm being put into like the starting 11.
Wait, who was the coach at the time?
Aloisi. I'm looking, do you know how like, day before, like when you got a game coming up, you could sort of tell who's starting.
The shape that you play.
You see the starting 11 boys formatting one team.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I was put into that squad. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, oh, could be a possibility that, you know, I'm starting.
Yeah.
I didn't really think much of it at first. You know, there's Josh Rizzo, you know, crazy, but I learned a lot of him, you know, one of the best in the games here as a fullback, you know, and I learned a lot. I'm thinking, oh, you know,
He's got starting position cemented. He's got starting position, taking his position, man.
Not common. And then all of a sudden, man, like a couple of days before the game starts again. And then the day before Wellington Phoenix, you could tell like I was starting and all the boys were kind of like, man, you're starting.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm like,
all the reality
kicked in. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I'm actually starting, man. Yeah. And then I rock up to the game. Man, the kids were there. Everything, you got your name on the back. Everything's prepared for you. The gaffer's there reading out the starting 11 positions. We go in there, we do the conference, everything, telling players what's expected, the movements and stuff. You know, go out there, have fun. I'm thinking, I'm sitting there like, oh.
Were you scared?
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, I was, man. I wasn't scared.
Nervous,
but terrified.
Yeah.
Like nervous, but terrified. I was like, man, I remember walking out to the game, you know, Theo Harris was there. And I could hear Theo, he was like G-ing himself up a bit.
Mm.
And he's like, don't worry, man. He's like, you're fine, you're a good player, you're here for a reason, man. Like do your thing now.
Yeah, it's it.
Man, I stepped on that pitch and like everything just went
away.
Yeah. It was just me and the game, man.
Yeah.
I didn't take notice of no crowd.
Yeah.
Nothing. Just me and the game, and I got into that zone.
You just play yourself.
Just playing, man. Yeah. Just playing. And then, man, great feeling. Great feeling. Like after
you did
the game.
Well as well, man. I remember.
Thank you,
we
man.
We watched it. We never watch an A-League game, but Danny's playing, we'll watch it.
Was Alino there at the time?
Pardon?
Was Alino there at the time?
Yeah. Alino was upstairs watching.
What was that like by training with him? You had obviously a little bit of a relationship off the pitch with him.
That was amazing. Mm. It was amazing. Like he was honestly watching Alino train and stuff. Come up to me, always give me a hand with what I'm doing or what can I improve on what's his. It was best too, communicating with him in Italian during training.
Italian mentality.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. 100%. You know, and like, man, I remember during training, we're playing a practice match. All of a sudden, he's got his head down, not looking up, kicks it halfway, go. And I'm there looking. Yeah. I'm like.
So it was like 2 steps ahead? Or?
Yeah.
I'm like, jeez, man.
Like, yeah. Is he, because if you just look at his Instagram, he seems like the most chill Floats guy, just whatever. Oh, yeah. But I can tell on the pitch he's different.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Like completely 100%.
And that's what we're talking about. It's like that being one line fever.
That switch, man.
Yeah.
That switch. When you step onto the pitch,
yeah,
it all changes.
Definitely.
Like, he's a replica of his Instagram in real life.
Yeah.
He's the best. You guys, he's the best.
Looks like chilled, man.
But
such,
He's such a good guy to be around.
When we had that chat with him, though, you can tell.
He's got it.
When we talk about football.
Yeah, he's always changed.
Yeah, exactly.
His mentality changes. Yeah.
Yeah. He's on, man. Yeah. Yeah. He's on. Like, I learned. And I learned playing in Italy, too, playing with all the older boys.
Yeah.
When you're training, man, you don't muck around.
Yeah.
Like, there's no mucking around, especially the mentality that El Nino had. And I learned a lot from that. You know, like, when you're training, man, it's if I'm like, you do something wrong, man, and
yeah,
I'm going to take you accountable for
it. You know about it. Yeah.
You know?
And he's from probably more of the old school mentality too. Yeah. And like when you look at the players he's played with,
the greats, man.
The things he would have learned off them, then he's implemented into him and then exactly you're learning.
Yeah, I'm grateful for it, you know.
It's process, man.
Thick skin, man.
Yeah. Exactly
thick skin comes onto the football pitch. You know, someone's there, you make a mistake or something, take you accountable for it. Not just because for the sake of telling you, it's because I know that I improve. Exactly, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah. So debut. What happened next?
Debuts. What happened next? That's when football took its.
Does everything change?
Took its turn.
It's weird.
Yeah, took its turn. So like, debuted. Everything was going really well.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a high.
Of course.
I was on a high. Youth boys come back into play. You know, they chucked me back in with the 23s. Was training with them. I'm thinking, you know what? Youth boys are back. This will be good. You know, training with the boys, make my A League. You know, can A League starts calling me up a bit more. This could be really good. You know. Mm-hmm. And my idea was to go back in Italy August that season because I had been in contact with my so agents and clubs and stuff where I was going to go back August that year. So I thought, you know what, this would be a really great year. Play as many games as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Play, improve. Go back August, preseason, ready. I'm fresh. I'm ready to go. I'm ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And then things took a turn, man. Things took a turn. 4 months of preseason, played all four games, five games. 90 minutes, everything went well. First game back of the season, tore my meniscus. First game back.
Was it, Doc, did you know straight away you stuffed something up or was it?
Yeah. So I went in for a tackle and he sort of like hit my leg in.
Mm.
And I felt something, but I didn't think anything of it.
Mm.
I thought, you know what, it was just a bot. That was just someone just came in and I felt a bit of something. I'll walk it off. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
Man, this was before halftime too. So 5 minutes remaining, I'm running and I'm thinking,
doesn't feel right.
Something's not right.
Mm.
Go into the changing rooms. All the adrenaline took into me. I'm like to the physio, listen, man, can you strap my knee? Let me take a look at it. He was dealing with some other player, and I'm like, all right, listen, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Went to the other physio, listen, strap my knee.
Yeah.
Like I'm going back on strap my knee.
Yeah.
I didn't think anything of it at the time. Went back on to play. Played for about 10 minutes. I just couldn't run. Yeah. Couldn't run, man. I kid you not, I was hopping and the coach is looking at me. He's like, nah, man, we've got to get him off.
Yeah.
Get him off. I'm thinking, all right, be all right. Yeah. Some ice on it.
Yeah. Go again tomorrow.
I'll be good Monday, you know?
Of course.
Man, I go in Monday, do analysis with the physio. Then you're looking at 6 months out.
Beautiful. Thank you.
I'm thinking. Oh.
From up there.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah, straight away. Yeah. Split second,
what was,
man,
the first feeling?
Oh, man, it was the worst mental state I've ever been in.
Yeah.
I didn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
I didn't want to believe it.
Was that your first major injury?
Yeah. First major injury. I didn't want to believe it at all. I'm like to him, I'm like, all right, man, that's your opinion. Let's go see what the surgeon says.
Mm.
Didn't want to believe it at all. At all. No one knows this, man. I haven't told anyone this, but like when I went to go see the surgeon, man, speaking to him, doing analysis, he's like, yeah, man, you're going to be out 6-7 months. I'm like 6-7 months. I'm like, you all right? Are you like, are you normal, man? I'm not going to be out 6-7 months. Are you all right? Is there anything else we could do? Cut it off. 2 weeks. Risk of arthritis in the knees in the future. I'm like, nah, man, I don't want to do that. Mm. I want things done properly.
Yeah, of course.
Not have any future risks in the future, no?
Mm.
And he's like, nah, man, you're looking at 6 months out. Man, I kid you not. I got into the car, called my parents. I started bawling.
Of course.
Bawling, man.
Of course.
Like, I was in tears, man. Like, bad. No one knows this, man. I haven't told anyone this. Cool. I was just in.
People don't see that.
People don't see that, man.
So exactly.
People don't see that. People see the football beauties, the Instagram, social media. They see how you are on the outside, but they don't see anything behind the scenes.
And they would have seen you just debuted, you know, first team, young, man, you're living life, you're loving, man, it, and then boom.
That's like that.
Like that. Split second.
Yeah.
Man, I was boiling. That. Those 6 months took. They taught me a lot, man.
Oh, yeah.
They told me really long. And Ali, you know how it is, man. You just bloody came back from it.
15 months.
Even longer, man.
Yeah.
Even longer, you know. And it's a mental state where it destroys you.
Do you know what it is? This is how I sort of explain it to people. And it'd be different for you because I did it when, man, my career is over. Do you know what I mean? I did it just playing local football.
Yeah.
You were at the top. So it's different. But even then, when I did it, apart from the pain, which was ridiculous, I was bawling my eyes out because I knew that for the next year, I can't touch a ball. And, you know, for me, touching a ball was therapy. When everything else goes to shit, what do you have? You have football.
And you're alone too, man.
Exactly.
You're through the rehab yourself, not
then,
with the team.
Exactly. And then when you don't have football, what do you do then? Exactly. You know what I mean? You go crazy.
The same thoughts, man. The same thoughts were crossing through my mind. Yeah. You know, it's you're thinking, all these negative thoughts.
You can't help it.
Because you physically can't, like, change the outcome. No, yeah, like, if you have a bad game, you go out the next day, you start working.
Yeah.
But when you're sitting there with a knee brace, you're like, whoa, what am I doing? You know?
Man, I was two weeks with my legs straight. I couldn't move it like that in bed the whole 2 weeks. Quarantine. Quarantine, man. As
And you would have been thinking, man, through your head at that stage, obviously you're in your middle of the career, you're like, am I going to get another contract? Am I going to find another club?
All these thoughts.
Is this knee going to actually repair itself? Am I going to be back to normal after that, after the rehab? You know?
All these thoughts passing through my head. All these thoughts. Like, I was genuinely in the worst state.
I remember seeing you on crutches and in the brace. Where were we? On Logan Street or something?
Yeah, Logan Street, that's it.
I could tell you were a mess.
And like, you know what? All I had to do was put a smile on and just keep on going.
Yeah.
Can't do much, man.
No.
You're not going to sit there, dwell for yourself because at the end of the day, it's sports. Everyone goes to injuries.
Exactly right.
People are dealing with much worse things in life than a torn meniscus.
You know, that helped you? It did. Having that mentality.
It did, man.
Yeah.
It did. Like, for the first 2 weeks, man, it was bad.
Yeah.
I was in a low. I was thinking to myself, the worst outcomes, man. The worst outcomes.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm not going to be back to better. I'm not going to be back to normal. What if I didn't get a contract? I was planning to go back to Italy in August.
Yeah.
That just messed everything up.
Yeah.
What's gonna happen now? You're dwelling. You're doubting yourself. You're doubting your outcome. Doubting the future. But then you know what? Something clicked inside of me. You're like, you know what? Suck it up, man.
Yeah.
Happen. I believe everything happens for a reason. You deal with it. You get better. You come back stronger. Exactly. That's reality.
Yeah.
Can't sit there dwelling and doubting everything for forever. Mm. You know, you just got to put your big boy pants on and go out there and work now, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Remember, I was pumping like I worked where I couldn't work. So my knee was gone.
Just doing upper body.
Yeah. I kid you not, man. Like before my operation and stuff, I was pumping upper body, pumping this leg straight after operation. 2 weeks, I couldn't do anything. As soon as I could bend my knee a little bit, man, I was in the gym.
Mm.
Upper body, this leg.
Mm.
Doing what I can, just to stay mentally active too, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Exactly.
Can't stay still. Exactly. Couldn't stay still. You know how it feels, man. You can't stay still. Athletes, man.
You gotta do something.
We're on a movement always.
And it's also like little wins in your head. Like, for example, your leg, you move it a bit more that day. Like, oh, I'm getting there, bro. You know? Because you need something to keep you, like a little goal, you know, to keep you going. Otherwise, you're just going to sit there and be the most miserable person going around.
I agree, man. Like every 4 weeks, I think it was every four weeks, I'd go to my surgeon.
Mm.
And all right, Dan, today we're going to bend it 30 degrees. Yeah. Today we're going from 30, we're going to 90.
Yeah.
So to say, you know, I'm there, I'm thinking, all right, man, like,
I'm getting there, man.
Which was a great feeling. All these, like you said, these little rewards.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think that'll teach, obviously you've learned a lot, but that, so 6 months, you would have learned so much about yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then in terms of, not even injuries, man, just times of pure shit that you're in, man, all right, the way to get out of this, just slowly, like you just crawl out, then the light, you see the light at the end of the tunnel, man.
Of course.
Like chip away. It's a good mentality to sort of adopt.
Of course, I agree with that, man.
What happened after the injury then?
After the injury?
So 6 months, you recovered?
6 months, I recovered, I'm back on the ball. I went back to England in January.
Right.
So back in January, and that's when I signed for Cesena.
Mm-hmm.
Done, Cesena was real good. Done really well there. However, at the end of the season, I had a few issues.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the one to have issues with clubs and stuff, so I did have a few issues with the coach where, you know, unfortunate football.
Of course.
You come across coaches that love you, come across coaches that
hate you.
Yeah.
It's football, man. You could have one coach that hates your one team, go to another team, you're playing every single game in the season.
Yeah.
And he's loving you.
Yeah.
So I tried moving clubs before the season ended. Tried to already get in contact. And then that's when the football world hits you.
Mm.
And you're thinking, all right, dealing with agents there. Yeah, we got this one. Yeah, we got that one. Yeah, just wait a bit here. Oh, no movement. And you're thinking,
what's going on?
You're thinking, yeah, what's going on?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So after Chazen, I was still at Chazen. Now they knew I wanted to leave the club, so I didn't bother going back. City Chi. So for the meantime, as I was looking for clubs to sign for City D Club, still on the low, I said to them, I'm like, look.
Trying to play.
I'm trying. I'm signing for you just to play.
Yeah.
And then I know in January, I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
Which I mucked up a bit there. I shouldn't have actually gone that approach. I didn't say it like that. I said it in a different approach. Listen, so we're both not wasting each other's time.
Yeah.
I'm here just to get game time, get the team training up and play.
They took it differently.
They didn't take it differently. They were very understanding. Mm. They're like, look, we understand. But at the end of the day, they sort of put me to the...
Yeah.
That you're not in here the long term.
They sort of pulled me to the side. You know?
I
was playing. I was playing games and stuff. But we all like. I knew.
Yeah.
I knew that.
You get the vibe, you know.
Yeah, I get the vibe.
So
like comes now. We're right now. You know, so I'm dealing with a couple clubs now, and I'm going back next week to train with them for a bit and hopefully finalize contracts with them.
It's crazy, like that side of things we were talking off air before about agents and all the other crap. And they're just criminals, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. it's like you're saying, your business. It's a business, it's your number. It's reality.
You just have to sort of deal with it, man. Now, unfortunately, because we can't really change right at the moment.
No, you can't, man. You can't.
You see it even in the top players, man. Oh, it happens to them.
So to say, I'm not... Yeah. I can't really say much because I'm not one to say much because, look, I haven't played. I haven't made my Serie A debut. I'm not on multi-million dollar contracts. So I'm not one to go and say to the agents, give me this, give me that. Yeah, I want this, I want that. I've got no right to say that. Because at the end of the day, I'm still building my profile, still getting up there.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've done nothing. But at the end of the day, you're dealing with agents where, come here. I'm waiting on this club. You call them 2 weeks later. What's going on with this club? I've got another club now.
Yeah.
Like, all right, man, so what's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah, this club here said that they're full. They'll take you next year. They're going to keep an eye on you for the full season.
So what?
I'm like, look, man, I've told you 6 months prior.
Yeah.
That let's start.
You've had 6 months to work on this.
Yeah.
I was supposed to sign for a different Serie D club and potentially another Serie C club. And then the contracts didn't fall through.
Mm.
Which like, unfortunately, it's football, but.
It is football. At the end, that was like my demise, really, like dodgy agents.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, but I look back, like we talk about it, that was maybe the regret. Is just staying there.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, but I'm there. I keep showing up.
Yeah.
In the end, it affected us or affected me mentally, and I threw in the towel, man. Like I gave up.
Oh, that's one regret, I'll be honest, I'll have, is just buying into the bullshit. Not buying into it, but let it affect me in a way that then I sort of stopped enjoying football.
Yeah.
But I think of it now, obviously I'm a lot more mature and I can think of it and I'm like, man, what the fuck did I worry about that shit? You know what I mean? I should have just kept my head down. And
the fact that you're, man, you're leaving next week.
Yeah.
Whatever happens, you're there, man. You're ready to go.
I'm there, man. He's like, I got the call and he's like, look, man, calm down.
Definitely.
We've got one club. You're going to train with them for a bit.
Mm.
See how everything goes. Contracts. And we've got another club. I'm like, listen, I'm going to come back there, but I want a plan. Like, I'm putting my faith into you. Now, I just need you to do your work.
Exactly. But it's hard, though, isn't it? Like, we say plan. We have an idea in our head.
But then we get there.
But it never happens that way. It changes like that. The next day, you're gone. You know what I mean?
I agree.
And sometimes I think these agents, you know, you're saying like, oh, these clubs. I honestly reckon they say it to make themselves look important and like they're busy. But they probably haven't even spoken to like three clubs.
Yeah.
But. The honesty, 100%. The best thing, even just playing Serie D there, you're going to play at a level that that is, like, honestly, like, with all respect, is 10 times better than here in terms of mentality, passion. Like, I remember we were training with a club, man, in the mountains at one stage, Man, we've seen the games. The games were more packed out than some A-League games.
Oh, yeah. No,
like,
agree,
the
mate.
Passion, the crowd, you're going to at least get that feeling, man. Mm. Like, that's one regret I sort of have as well is, I'll say, we actually talk about it a fair bit and it's like, we should have just like stayed, you know, a few years and just played like Serie D somewhere, you know, just get that feeling, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think what you're doing is
it's perfect. So hard, man, to get that feeling. You know, like you, once it, when it does go, right, when you retire or whatever it is, it's like, I actually saw this this podcast with Thierry Henry and Diary of a CEO. I don't know if you saw this clip, but he says, you know, when you stop, you a part of you dies.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I mean? That competitor dies. And like, I tell Matt all the time, man, you crave that. You crave that. I don't know. I can't really explain
it. Players struggle, man, when they retire because the adrenaline, the buzz, you can't replace it.
Score, goal, crowds.
Yeah. How can you ever do that?
With the boys, like going to battle, you know, like that type of stuff.
The smell of the grass, all this stuff, you know.
Night before, you know, I've got to get my buster in, you know, because I'm playing. I've got the ritual. I've got to put my right suit, you know.
Exactly.
All that type of, that little shit, you know. Then it's like sort of now it's like you can't replicate it, man.
Yeah. But. As I was saying, it's crazy that you keep going.
Yeah,
next. What's next? What's next?
I've set out with a goal and I'm.
It's the best mentality to have.
Can't stop, man.
Yeah,
can't stop. Yeah. From when I left Australia at 11 years old, I'm like to myself, look, man, you're gonna do it.
Yeah.
Primo poi.
Yeah, it's gonna.
You're gonna do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just keep chipping, and bro, you're young. Like that's the thing that's crazy. You've already got 9 years of experience playing overseas, but you're only 20 years old.
I'm 20, man. Like,
that's
I'm
crazy,
20,
man.
But I feel older, man. Like, that's the thing that gets me.
We think you're older, too.
Yeah, like, every time we ask how old you are, man. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nah, but it's good, man. Like, all these things throughout the year, the trials, the tribulations, the success, the setbacks, it's all taught me to where I'm at. I mean, as a person, too. Put aside football, as a person now, it's taught me a lot.
Of course, for sure.
You know, and I'm lucky I got my parents beside me. You know, they've at a young age, they've been there. And they've guided me, you know, through their success in their profession to my success with what I do, you know, which is great.
I wanted to ask as well quickly, just the agent side of things, because I feel like a lot of people don't understand this side of things and it's nice to get a bit of insight, do you know what I mean? Like, when do you know that you've got the wrong person?
Oh, you can tell straight away.
Yeah.
Tell straight away. You look at what they're saying and what they're giving. So they'll say this, they'll say that.
Promise you things.
Promise you things and I'll do the opposite.
Yeah.
What happened with this one? What happened with this club? Ah.
It's never
a real answer. Yeah.
So what's going on here? Oh, you know, just got some club here. All right. You hear from them in a week after. So what's going on with that club? Oh, nah, the president, this, that. All right.
Yeah,
got another club. Give him a call the next week. What's going on here? Oh, nah. Like I've gone to the point. I'm fed up with agents. Where I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care what clubs you've got proposed to me.
Mm.
I want a phone call saying, Daniel, come here this day here.
Yeah,
I've got a club for you here. Be ready.
Yeah,
I've done my part. You do your part.
Don't tell me, show me.
Yeah. And then sign the contract. Done.
Exactly. I don't want you to say you could four means you could say I'm speaking of Real Madrid.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, speaking of Real Madrid, how are they? How are they? They good?
Yeah.
I don't care. Speaking of Real Madrid, man.
Yeah.
I want you to say, Daniel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come down. Real Madrid's interested in you. You're gonna be training with them.
Yeah.
That's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear any nonsense of.
But sure. Then, how do you get rid of them? How do you get rid of the bad ones? Because I feel like it's a weird sort of medium. You have to be smart about it because people talk, man. Do you know what I mean?
Like, because you burn bridges.
There were so many moments where I realized how small, yes, it's a big world, but football's small as well, man.
Yeah,
like 100%. I had an agent call another agent about me on the spot. I didn't even know they knew each other. Do you know what I mean? Like literally on the right in front of me. And what happens if I had said,
you know,
whatever.
You could have a black mark across your name.
So how do you go about it?
Well, first things first, like at the moment, I haven't signed any contracts with the agents.
Yeah.
I don't want to until I find someone that I know is going to be
smart
and good for me.
Mm.
How do I get rid of the bad ones? So to say, the bad buzzers. distance, man.
Yeah.
Distance.
Don't get too close.
Don't say much.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't tell, like if I'm dealing with, so to say, if I'm dealing with three, four people now, two people, one people, I don't know. If I'm dealing with multiple agents, I don't go say, hey, this agent's told me this, this and that. Or, hey, that agent's told me that.
Yeah.
Keep it between, like, I'm dealing with this one. At the end of the day, if I don't feel like you're right for me, hey, listen, man, great doing business with you, but I don't feel you are accommodating for me. I don't feel like you're for me. Mm. At the end of the day, I don't feel like we can work things out.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, man, you find an agent, like, I've looked at things, man, you got to be smart with agents, man. You find an agent that's dealing with big players. So to say, you go get Ronaldo's agent, you go get Vlahovic, you go get Chiesa, you go dealing with those type of agents that got those type of players.
Mm.
You got to be careful, man. Yeah, they got good networking. Yeah, they've got a player that's playing Serie A, Juve, whatever. But at the end of the day, you got to look at yourself and you got to think, are you at that level yet?
Yeah, exactly. Right.
So what are they going to do to you? They're going to put you to the side. Yeah, they might put you in a club. Forget about you.
Yeah.
You went here for 2 months. How you been? Oh, good, man. How you playing? Good. All right, see ya. Bang.
Yeah.
I found you got to find an agent that wants to win with you.
Yeah.
That wants to grow with
you.
Sort
of invest in you.
Of course. Yeah. That's invested in you.
Yeah.
And that, all right, it's a win-win. It's a win-win at the end of the day. I want to find an agent that is growing with me.
Hmm.
I sign a multi-million-dollar contract. He makes commission out of that. I don't sign a multi-million-dollar contract. He doesn't make money out of that.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, I want someone that's going to be there thinking, you know what?
Definitely.
I see potential in this kid. I believe in you just as more as you believe in yourself. We're going to make a win-win situation, yeah.
Definitely, mate. You know who that reminds me of? Mino Raiola with Ibra.
Yeah.
Literally exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I remember watching his like doco film and the exact same thing. It's like he went to Ibra and said, I'm going to make you, like, we're going to get there together.
All together.
And look at what happened. But that's what you're saying. There needs to be almost an incentive for the agent. Because if there is no incentive for them, it's like, well, I don't really care if you make it or not.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas if it's like, if you make it, then I'm going to get paid. Of course, yeah. Or I'm going to get something, or I'm going to start an agency, whatever, and then get other players. It's like, oh, I'm going to put more effort in.
It's a win-win situation. Got to
invest in you, you know. Invest time too, man. It's not even about money. It's about giving you the time and giving like your career the respect it deserves in finding opportunities and all that type of thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So, no, I think it needs to be better regulated in terms of the whole footballing world.
Yeah.
The agent, there's a lot of talk about it, like, you know, the dodgy business and all that.
Mm.
I don't know how, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to go into details because I don't know, but I think it needs to be some sort of more regulated in some sort of way. I'm not sure how you do that, but...
There has to be something.
And just dealing with agents, man. You want an agent that is like family, so to say.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know.
So what now? What's the goal, man? Like, when do you... Can you look at yourself in the mirror at some point and say, I made it? Or is that never a thing? You just keep going?
Man, you know, I don't know if this is a defect of mine. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing. I honestly don't know, but I'm never satisfied.
Mm.
Honestly, I'm never satisfied.
That's good.
I'm never satisfied.
Good way to be.
I'm always looking for more. I'm hungry for more, man. Yeah, I signed a big contract. So to say, next couple of years, playing in Serie A, big contract. Okay, what now?
Mm.
Yeah.
Man, you make the contract. It's going to be even harder to maintain it.
Of course, yeah, exactly. That's one part.
Yeah, that's another thing that people don't understand.
You don't understand it. You sign a contract, multi-million-dollar contract. I'm playing for Napoli, Serie A, playing for Liverpool in the Prem. I signed the contract. Okay, maintain it.
Mm, of course.
I want to see how long you're going to be playing in the top leagues for. People don't see that, man.
Exactly. Mm. Right.
They can take away that contract quicker than you signed it.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't understand
you
that,
You can be like speed out, chewed and speed out. Yeah, you know, like man. That, man. You see how many players...
Of course, man. They see a better player than you, maybe paying a bit less.
You're gone.
You're so gone, true, man. So making it obviously is the first step to that level.
Yeah. Mm.
But then, man, maintaining it.
Definitely. And at that level.
At that level. Constantly. Because at that level, man, you're expected of consistency in your performance.
Mm.
You can't have one good game, two bad.
Exactly.
Two good, one bad.
Yeah.
You can't. At that level, man, with the money they're paying you, with the expectations that are on you, and it's a lot of pressure on the player.
Yeah,
don't get me wrong. Speaking of a player and stuff,
definitely,
you're expected of a lot. But at the end of the day, look how much money you're getting paid, man.
100%. It sort of comes with the territory, man.
Yeah. It comes with all of it, you know.
Yeah.
It's not just the money. Like I'm not money hungry, you know.
Yeah, but it's everything. You're a footballer, bro.
You're a footballer, man. Like what made me too was once in Italy, man. I was getting my hair cut, and I was speaking to the barber, and I'm like, oh yeah, you play for this team, yeah. Someone's mum came up to me and was like, oh, you play for this team. Can I get an autograph for my son? Blah, blah, blah. Like me, I'm not that big. Yeah, yeah, but like, you know, it looked at me inside and I'm thinking, jeez.
Yeah, it's a little thing.
It brings joy in you, man.
Like, I remember more, you just say you're a footballer and, bro, you like get treated in another way.
Mm.
Like little things, man. In terms of you're privileged, man.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Man. You are. You are. And the thing too, man, like if you make it that big, it's all about the being humble and remembering where you are too, you know? Mm, giving back to everyone else.
Because it can be taken away like that.
Yeah, man, it could be taken away like that. Like you can be on a high and you could be even lower than you were before.
I think that's the most important thing is to not get too high and not get too low. Because it's just an evolving, like, you know.
Stay in the middle, man.
Yeah.
Stay in the middle,
you
man.
You could go boom, boom. You just want to try and just ride the wave, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. So, I agree with that, man.
Yeah.
Last one for me. Just because I think you've got a really good mentality and I love that. And I don't know, you've gone through a lot as well as a footballer. If there's someone watching this, probably say your 11-year-old self or someone maybe going through injury that's trying to ride the same wave, what's the advice?
The advice, man, keep on going. Keep going. Keep pushing. Don't settle for anything less. Believe in yourself, man. Believe in yourself. That's a big thing. As a footballer, man, you got to believe in yourself more than anything else.
Definitely.
Don't care about what anyone else is saying. Believe in yourself. Work hard. You get a setback. Doesn't matter. Push through the setback. See the bigger picture. Yep. You know, and really, and truly believe, like I said, truly believe in yourself that it will all work out. Have no doubts. And push through, man. That's what I give to my younger self. To my younger self as an 11-year-old, any 11-year-old watching this or something, I'd say, you know what? Keep on going. Don't stop. Short-term pain, long-term gain. Like my father always says to me, you know, short-term pain, long-term gain. You know, sacrifice now to live a fulfilled life in the future.
That's huge. Well, on that note, just that unbelievable bit of advice.
Yeah.
I think we'll wrap it up. Daniel, it's been an absolute pleasure.
It's been a pleasure, man.
It's been a long time coming. Yeah, very happy to come on.
Wish you all the best. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, no life. Agent, no dodgy agents get the contract.
We might have to come over and sort it out.
I might have to recruit you boys as my agents, man. Honestly, man.
No problem.
But yeah, we
always talk about that, actually. So maybe there's a little opportunity there.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Appreciate it, man. It's been a pleasure.
And thank you to everyone watching. If you haven't already, make sure you press follow on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube, wherever else you get your podcast from. Follow us on Instagram, The Almost Made It Podcast. Cultural Club Official on Instagram as well. Is that it?
TikTok as well. Jump on TikTok.
No excuses. We're on everything. Yeah. So give us a follow. Man. Yeah, that's it.
Give Daniel a follow as well.
Daniel DiFrancesco.
Follow his journey.
That's it. And thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next episode. Ciao.